Thank you, Lisa and Louise, for reading our scripture for us this morning. Well, as you've heard already, this is a little bit of a different kind of Sunday, and therefore we'll have a little bit of a different kind of sermon this morning. We gather today to worship God, as we do every week when we gather as a community of faith. And one of the ways that we worship God is by expressing gratitude to God. And one of the things that we as a congregation are profoundly grateful for is the last 7 years that Pastor Larry and Doris have been here serving among us. And so we felt it was appropriate today, not just to puff them up, right, but as an act of gratitude to God, as an expression of worship, to have a kind of appreciation service for the Deaners this morning. So that felt good and that felt right to us. And talking with Larry about it, he was pretty clear though. He said, listen, I don't want this service to be totally about me. I don't want it primarily about me. This is still a worship service. God is still the focus of our attention this morning. So absolutely right on. So that is our goal for this service. And Kyle introduced the morning well. And even for our sermon today, we kind of want to walk that line. We want to rightly honor Larry and Doris, but also answer the call in keeping God the focus this morning. So you can see that the title of our sermon, the title of our message today is Proclamation and Conversation, Reflections on God's Faithfulness. Okay, so proclamation, I'm gonna do a little bit of preaching, and conversation. So for the second half of our message, Larry's actually going to come forward, and he and I are gonna have a little bit of a conversation today. And the goal for both parts of those, the proclamation and the conversation, is for all of us to reflect together on God's great faithfulness. So that's our game plan for the morning, and we are going to do that kind of reflection together through the lens of Psalm 86. Psalm 86, if you have a Bible, I invite you to take that out and follow along. Why Psalm 86 for this morning? It's partly at Larry's request. I had asked Larry if he had any texts, any stories, any passages that were especially meaningful to him, and he gave a number of different options, one of which was a few key verses from Psalm 86. Verses 11 and 12 have been something of a life verse for him, and so I started there, and then I thought, boy, this whole thing is just so good. So we're going to reflect on all of Psalm 86 together this morning. So this psalm is structured in kind of an interesting way. There are four distinct sections in the psalm. So it begins with a need for grace. The author is expressing his need. We see that in the first four verses. Then in verses 5 through 10, there is a description of God's character. That's followed in verses 11 through 13 by the psalmist's response. And then finally, it concludes with a section of hope and confidence. So that's sort of how this ancient poem, this ancient hymn is laid out. A need for grace, a description of God, the psalmist's response, which we'll see is to be all of our response, and then finally, hope and confidence. So let's go ahead and walk through this psalm together. It begins with an expression of need. Listen again to verses 1 through 4. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Now, this is a psalm of David, and David is somebody who was very faithful to the Lord. He's called a man after God's own heart. And yet David is also somebody in his life who encountered periods of struggle and difficulty, right? And so notice, those two things are not mutually exclusive, right? You can be faithful, committed, righteous, and also experience struggle in life as well. Faith does not shield us from all difficulty or pain in life, but it does provide a kind of refuge for us in the midst of it. And I think that's what we see here with David, right? David says he's poor and needy. He is seeking mercy. He calls out to God all day long. This is somebody we see in the psalm. This is somebody who recognizes his dependence, recognizes his reliance on God. It's what we see in David. I think that's also something that we've seen in Pastor Larry as well, right? A humility, a vulnerability, a bravery in acknowledging a need for God's grace. You know, one of the ongoing challenges in the Christian life is the temptation to pretend, right? Maybe you have felt and experienced that, the temptation to pretend you've got it all nailed down, to pretend that everything's perfect, to pretend that you don't have any struggles or issues. Of course, that's not true of any of us, right? None of us have it all nailed down. None of us is perfect. All of us has struggled. We don't always like to admit that. We don't always like to be that vulnerable. But what we see in this psalm is acknowledging our need for God's grace. That is in many ways where the life of faith begins. And Larry, I'm so grateful for the way that you have lived that out among us. I know that's a really important principle in CR, the Celebrate Recovery Ministry, but I think you've modeled that in our larger congregation as well. Even in the songs that were picked this morning, I am weak and need thy strength. It's a testament to this. The life of faith begins with an acknowledgement of our need for grace. So that's the first section of this psalm. The next section goes on and gives a description of God. And notice there's kind of a progression here, right? So it begins with, I have this need. I am in need of grace. Because I have a need, I'm taking that need to God. And so who is this God? What is this God like? Look at verses 5 through 10. It says, you, Lord, are forgiving and good. So even when we mess up, even when we fall short, even when we falter, God is forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Verse 6, hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am distressed, I call to you because you answer me. This is a God who hears our cries and who responds. And so we can say, hear my prayer, Lord. Larry, we've prayed together many times, right? One of the things I appreciate every week as pastors, as our leadership team, we come together every week and we have a dedicated time where we pray together. We pray for this church. We pray for all of you. We pray for the needs in our body. We pray for our community. We pray for the world. We pray for God's wisdom, God's grace, God's mercy. I didn't do the math, but what, 7 years you've been here, so doing it every week, hundreds and hundreds of times we've prayed together. And I really appreciate those times and especially appreciate that we have a God who hears our prayers and who answers. Verse 8, among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. See, it's not about us. And again, that's why I highlighted at the beginning of the sermon, Larry saying, listen, I don't want this service to be about me. Okay, it's not about us. It's not about our name, our fame, our glory. It is always and ultimately about the glory of God. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Love that. So this is why we can go to God with our needs in the first section, because of who this God is revealed to be in the second section. The third section then follows the logical progression. If I have this need, I can bring it to God. Why? Because this is a God who is forgiving and good. This is a God who hears and responds to our prayers. This is a God who receives all glory. And so because that's who God is, there's only one natural response on my part, and that's this third section, the psalmist's response, all of our response, verses 11 through 13. It says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. So let's just break that down a little bit. Teach me your way, Lord. One of the marks of a disciple is a teachable spirit. I think that's something that we see in Larry. Larry has a very humble heart and teachable spirit. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. The mark of a disciple is allegiance to Christ above all else, right? Not to be divided in our loyalties, but to have God's kingdom be our highest priority. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I think it's safe to say, Larry, that you are one who praises God with your whole heart. And you have used your gifts to help us glorify the name of the Lord more fully in this place. For great is your love toward me. Again, given the nature of this service, I think it's appropriate to kind of spotlight you guys a little bit. And so Larry and Doris, I hope that you feel the love today. I hope that you feel the love from this congregation. But even more than that, even more than feeling the love from all of us, our hope and prayer is that you would feel the love, know the love, experience the love that our Heavenly Father has for you guys. And, you know, of course, that's my hope and prayer for all of us, right? Because that is the most consistent theme in Scripture, and that is the thing that is most true about every single one of you. Right? There are other themes in Scripture, but the key theme in Scripture, and there may be other things that are true about you, but the thing that is most true about every single one of you is how deeply, deeply loved, cherished, valued you are by the Creator of the universe. How great is your love toward us? So, what is our response to who God is? We learn God's ways. We give undivided devotion to God's kingdom. We praise and glorify God, and we receive God's great love for us. That's the third section here of this psalm. And then finally, the fourth section, hope and confidence. Listen to how this ends. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So we see here a little bit more of David's need, right? He's being attacked. His life is in danger. His enemies are trying to take him out. And yet despite that, despite this real and present danger, he expresses a remarkable hope and confidence in the Lord. The hope and confidence is not rooted in his circumstances. It is not rooted in his own strength. The hope and the confidence is rooted in who God is. Larry and Doris, as you transition, as you enter into this new season of our lives, we hope that you can do so with the same hope and confidence that David expresses in this psalm, that you would be helped and comforted by our Heavenly Father, and that you would see a sign after sign after sign of God's goodness. So there's a whole lot more I could say about God's faithfulness in general, and especially through the lens of this psalm, but I'm going to invite Larry to come forward and have him share a little bit as well. So Larry, come on forward. Now Larry was clear. He said, I don't want to preach this morning. So this is not Larry preaching. This is just us reflecting together on God's goodness and God's grace. So a couple questions for us to think about together. You've been here 7 years, Larry, and you know, one of the things in this psalm is that David, what helps him have that hope and confidence in the Lord is he reflects on how God has been faithful in the past. So Larry, you have served among us for 7 years. What are some of the ways that you have seen God at work during your time here at Franconia?
Yes, good morning. I've seen God at work in many, many ways here among us. One of them is that I sense as a congregation, we have become more community-minded, more willing to reach out to our neighbors and friends instead of being maybe as closed or ingrown as it's easy for any congregation to be. You're showing a strong connection with Celebrate Recovery. There's the Hope Festival that's happening. Our vision statement says that we're willing to do whatever it takes to reach into the community, and that's kind of a scary thing. I'm not always willing to do whatever it takes to reach out and share God's love, but that is our goal, that is what our desire is to do, and I think that's a good thing. Doris and I have also seen God at work here in the strong family units that are here, the two-generation, many times three-generation families. And as you know, we have never lived close to our children. My dad was with us, but we didn't live close to either of our parents either as we were raising our children. And we see in this congregation God working through the strong family bonds and family units. That's been very encouraging. We see an openness to change and to growth. And we also see God working through the generosity of this body. And that could be stated in many different ways and given a lot of examples. But I only remember one time that our church budget wasn't met by the end of the year. And also you have been very generous in your response to the Liberia Partnership Ministries. I've appreciated that very much. But we have seen God working through the generosity of this body in many, many different ways.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you. Well, you ended there by talking about the Liberia Partnership and Liberia Ministries, and your work there is one of the ways that I have seen God at work in this place through your leadership, the Liberia Ministries. And actually, one of our friends from Liberia has a message he wants to share with you, so let's play that.
We bring you greetings from the congregations, from the leaders, and every workers of this great church. We want to take this time to acknowledge those things that the church, Franconia Mennonite Church, had done for us. We appreciate all of the work, the kind work, the kind gesture you have shown over the years. We say thank you for them. We want to say these special words to Pastor Larry as he will be turning over office. We want to speak to you today, Pastor Larry. We say thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you plenty. We want to say you hold a special place in our heart, and we love you. We want to say thank you for the time that we have worked with you, the exchange in text messages, the chats on WhatsApp, the emails that we have sent to each other. We want to say thank you for being a model to us. Thank you for the work. Thank you that today our church can boast of a good electricity, and our church can boast of a good city, and our church can boast of a good flow that is well tied. We say thank you for all of the hard work. Thank you for the concern also that you always show us. We say thank you as you leave this position. It is our prayer that God will give you more strength to continue to do his work, to continue to have passion for others, to help others succeed. We want to say thank you. It is difficult this time to say goodbye in this area. So we say thank you for the work. Thank you. We love you. We will continue to love you. May God bless you in whatever you do.
Sorry for comment.
Sure.
That's Cyrus Varney. You've maybe heard his name before. a dear brother in the faith, a young man in his mid-30s. He was our contact person, one of our primary ones with the job training for women that many of you will remember with the sewing and the baking and the soap making and so on. He was our contact person with that. He's also the one who is managing the work we do with the orphan children. So when you get reports, those of you who are sponsoring one of the 50 children, when you get reports each marking period, Cyrus is the one that puts those together and is in contact with the children and the teachers and the administrators. He recently has been asked to fill in as interim pastor of Bethel Sanctuary of Faith. So he now is also serving as a pastor of the congregation and working with the school, Charles K. Wesley Memorial Academy. So Cyrus has become a dear friend and brother and is very, very involved in the work that we are doing in Liberia.
So we see God at work through the ministry in Liberia. You've seen God at work in your time here at Franconia. Sometimes I think it's helpful also, right? So we're celebrating your 7 years of faithfulness and God's faithfulness during your time here at Franconia. But of course, you've been in ministry and following the Lord for longer than that. So I wonder, can you kind of like take a step back and give us like the big picture, not just the last 7 years, but throughout your life and ministry career as you head toward retirement, what are some of the big ways that you have consistently seen God at work?
I've seen God working as he is calling his children to faithfulness, to living lives of integrity, and to be open to the move of the Spirit. I've seen that here. I've seen that in many other places. And I think that's how God works in our hearts and calls us to faithfulness and integrity. I've also seen God calling his people to more of a sense of global awareness and involvement. I've seen him teaching me about balance in many areas of life. Balance in of activity and rest. There's always that tension of when to be busy and when to slow down. There's the balance of focusing on our work and focusing on our family and other priorities. For me, it's been a balance in exercise and eating habits and those kinds of things. I've seen God at work over the years in that. And also teaching us about caring, the balance of caring for our own internally and balance of reaching out to others. We have the community life ministry team and the outreach ministry team, and it's very important that we have both of those. But I see God at work as he develops this awareness in us. And also for me personally, a sense of my identity in Christ, that my identity is not in my masculinity, in my job, in my family relationships, not in all of those things, but my primary identity is in Jesus Christ. And I see him making us as a body more aware of that and rooted in Jesus.
Nice, thanks. So what's next for you guys?
What's next?
At the end of this coming month, we'll be retiring, and then, yeah, give us a glimpse into what the next season looks like for y'all.
When we came here 7 years ago, we didn't know if this would be our permanent and final place. Many of you know that we had kind of assumed that we would end up settling in Florida before we came here. That was our last move. Our son David was out in Texas. Our daughter Debbie and her family were in Kenya, and our youngest Ellie is in Washington, D.C., and with our family all spread out, we thought maybe Florida would be our final stop. And they would come to us, you know? Everybody wants to live in Florida in their retirement. But then things worked out that we came here. And so even when we came here, we still didn't know what the future held. We thought maybe this would be our final place of lodging. But then several years back, David and his family moved to Michigan from Texas. Debbie and her family moved home from Kenya to Harrisonburg. And all of a sudden, our family was all in the same time zone. Now, I know many of you are 5 minutes away from all of your children. Well, we were just grateful that we were all in the same time zone. And so several years ago, we started a conversation with our children about what should our retirement years look like? What should our final phase of life look like? And we decided if we're going to make another change, if we're going to relocate again, we should do that while we're still young enough to be able to engage in our families' lives, in the lives of our children, the lives of our grandchildren, before we can no longer go up steps and before they need to take care of us and so on like that. So we debated quite a while between Michigan, where our son is, and Harrisonburg, Virginia, where our daughter and her family are. And we've settled on Hillsdale, Michigan, for a variety of reasons. In southern Michigan, many of you know where Coldwater is. It's about a half hour east of Coldwater or an hour west of Detroit. So it's in the southern part of Michigan. Our son serves as headmaster there of the Hillsdale Academy that's associated with Hillsdale College. He also teaches a class at Hillsdale. And the Lord has worked it out in a variety of ways for us to be there. Our son has a 10-acre property, and a house came available, a 3-acre property, right adjacent to our son. And we have seen that as part of the way that the Lord has led and provided for us. So we can see our son's house through the woods, but we can't look in his kitchen window. So that's a good thing. We're close by, but not too close. But we're planning to go to a lot of soccer games of our grandchildren, a lot of Bible quizzes, Christmas programs, birthday parties. They have 4 children that are 16, 14, 11, and 9. And so that's a good age for us to be connected with them. Once we're settled in our new place and have a new church community established, I will likely be looking for some kind of part-time employment or at least volunteer involvement. I don't think it would be wise for me to just be at home and read and weed the flowers. I'm not sure Doris would want me around that much. So, oh, she's giving me a funny look. So I'll be looking for some kind of involvement in the community or some kind of employment, so you can be in prayer for us about that. But we really want our lives to be of service to the Lord wherever we live and whatever our earthly address happens to be. And I would say the same for each of us here, for every one of us, whether we live here or anywhere else, our lives are to be of service to the King. So our plans are that we will be moving the first week of August. We had thought maybe it would be later than that, September, October, but our son said, "Dad, I'm a headmaster of a school. We've got teenage children." He said, "If you can move early in August, we can help you with the move." He said, "If you wait till the end of August or September, October," he said, "we just will hardly be available." So we said, "Okay, we'll get started packing." And so the first week of August is our plan to move. Not to leave as quickly as we can. That's not the idea. It's to accommodate our son and his work schedule.
So final question. You have been one of our spiritual leaders, one of our pastors and shepherds here for 7 years. What would you leave with us? Any sort of like final words, final thoughts, anything that you would want to leave with us as one of our pastors?
I would ask that you continue to pray for a new and a fresh move of the Spirit, that revival would come to our community, to our church, to our nation. I would also ask you to continue to honor one another in love, to communicate with each other. As we see so often in churches, communication becomes a problem when people don't communicate, don't share, don't learn to know each other. Things can go awry. And I would encourage you to continue to love the people around you, whether that's your family, fellow believers in the church, your neighbors, or even people with whom you do not agree, people that you may disagree with theologically, politically, in a variety of ways. Continue to love and accept these folks. And I would ask that you continue to pray for and support our leadership team, the team we have with Mark giving leadership, and Josh and Kyle and Bronwyn and Helen is a wonderful working unit. We don't all agree on things. We come from different perspectives. But we have been able to foster a sense of unity, a sense of respect, a sense of honor for one another. And I would just ask that you continue to pray for the leaders that are here, along with the board and ministry teams, specifically the leadership team. They've done a great job of coming together. And it's a strong team. It's hard to leave this leadership group. Has been very meaningful for me personally. And Doris and I, of course, want to say thank you for your outpouring of love, for your generosity toward us, for your support and your care, your many expressions of appreciation. You've been a good church family for us, a good home for us. We have loved being here, living among you. And it's a very bittersweet thing for us to be relocating. We're looking forward to being closer to our son and his family, but it's hard to uproot once again. So thank you for being a good church family. for us here.
Awesome, thanks. So we're gonna wrap up here with a kind of blessing that we're going to speak over them. This blessing comes from Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12, which have been really meaningful for Larry. So Larry, I'm gonna ask you to head down with your bride, and we're gonna speak these words of blessing over you. The worship team can come forward, because after this blessing, we will sing together. And congregation, the words will be on the screen here. I'll have a part, and then there will be a part for the congregation to share. So Larry and Doris, these are kind of some words of blessing that we would speak over you. So why don't we all stand to share these words of blessing? Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Larry and Doris, may you seek the way of the Lord and always rely on his faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Larry and Doris, may your hearts be fully committed to God's kingdom, Christ's work, and the Spirit's leading. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Larry and Doris, may your lives be filled with never-ceasing praise as you glorify God in all you do. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Larry and Doris, may you be convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's worship in gratitude.